Acts chapter, I told you 14, it's Acts chapter 13, actually where I want to go. And I look at this scripture, and it was mentioned the other night, and I really tried to preach another message, but I believe this is what the Lord wants. Can I give it to you quickly? Stand with me, please. Verse 1, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, which is called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. Father, I bow in your presence today, asking you for your help, for your power, for your strength, Lord, for clarity of mind and wisdom of what to say and how to say it, and Lord, what not to say. I pray for your help in these things. Pray that you'll be glorified. Bless the other things that'll come. Lord, you've encouraged me. You've strengthened me. You've blessed me today, and I pray that you are being blessed today to the glory of God. If there's one today lost, save them. If there's one backslidden, reclaim them. Yes. If there's one here today that is struggling with something or where they need to be or where they need to go, what they need to do, I pray that you'll make it clear to them. Yes. As someone's already said, you do not hide your will. We're not playing hide and seek, Lord, with your will. You make it clear when we want to know your will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now there were in the church. That's an important part of that scripture. It's a local church. It's at a particular place. It's at Antioch. And so we see it is not Christendom or a universal church. We see it as a local church. Just as much so as Island Ford Baptist Church. Now there were in the church at Antioch, that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers. And it names some of them. This is not all of them, I'm sure. But it does name some. It names Barnabas. It names Simeon. It says Simeon was called Niger. I understand that Niger means black. When you look at it here, Simeon and Simon are names that is said differently in different languages, if you will, and all of that. And there was Lucius of Cyrene and Manian. So Simon and Lucius was from Cyrene. Do you remember that back when Jesus was headed to Calvary, that they got a man out of the crowd who was a Cyrenian,
right.
And Simon by name,
right.
and some believe, and I see no reason not to believe it, that this could have been the very one,
yep,
that helped carry the cross up there. But whoever it was, these were in the church. We know, going through the scriptures, we know who Barnabas was, and we know who Saul was. And of course, later on, it'll turn around. Barnabas is the leader when he goes out, but before long, it becomes evident that Saul, who has become Paul, will become the leader of that team. And as they go forth, the Bible says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. I wish Brother Brighton and Brother Kirkman, I wish they'd preach a message on what they were doing in ministering to the Lord. Have you ever thought about it? What was they doing? How was they ministering to the Lord? Understand, it does not say they were ministering for the Lord. It says they was ministering to Him. I believe when we personally, when we come together in a worship service and we truly worship God, and He is blessed, as the message said the other day, I'm convinced that is ministering to the Lord.
Amen.
Listen, my heart's been ministered to these couple of days that I've been able to be here, and before that at the Old Kentucky Camp meeting. My heart's been ministered to. My wife said the other day, and I know that some of you won't understand this, but we've been almost a month now in North Carolina, and my wife said basically that it seemed like her spirit was lighter. She didn't feel as demonically oppressed as she had been for some time in Kansas. Listen, you don't know what people go through sometimes, because most of them don't air the things that are going on in private. But thank God, God's there at all times. When you're where He wants you to be, He'll be there. By the way, when you get out from where He don't want you to be, He won't leave you alone anyway. He'll just go on. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Well, I look at this scripture, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. It's evident that they was sincere in what they was doing. They was doing a work for God, and they was ministering to Him. And so as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, it looks to me like it was a church service of some kind. And do you know, I look back in my life, and the majority of things that God did in my life, as He moved me from one step to another, as He stretched my faith for me to take just a little bit longer step, can I tell you that virtually, if not every one of them, I can look back and they happened in a worship service. God saved me. And before that, He convicted me time and again in a worship service. Boy, when God would begin to work and stir, and the power of God would be moving, and all of this, maybe my mom and other old saints of God would be shouting the praises of God, and all of this in my heart. I'm looking for it, and I'm seeing it, but I know that I'm far from that. And where am I? I'm lost and undone without God. God dealt with my heart to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I surrendered to preaching. Yes, I did surrender. A man told me out in Omaha, Nebraska, he said, I don't believe. I don't like to hear a man say he surrendered to preach. Said that indicates that he wasn't willing. I said, I wasn't. But God made me so. Because He quoted that, if a man desire the office of a bishop. And I said, God did make me, caused me to be desirous.
Right.
But before that, I was not willing.
Right.
But can I tell you, it went on, that conversation went on and got worse. Because I said something about ever since God called me to preach. Oh, he said, I don't believe in a call to preach. He said, I've been pastoring so-and-so church for 35 years. And he said, I'm just not of the school of thought of a call of God. He didn't say he had not been called. He said he was not of the school. That's the way he said it. Of the school of thought of God calling people to preach. And I ended the conversation there by saying, maybe you're not. I am. And I wasn't trying to be mean. I just figured this is not a fruitful conversation. And I'll just go on. So I look at this. Now here they are. They're ministering to the Lord, and they're fasting, and the Holy Ghost speaks. And I believe it was Dr. Kirkman said it's very evident that God made it clear to the church. God made it clear to the church. The Holy Ghost said, who did he say it to? The they there, it's got these people. And all together, I believe it's the church. It names some of the people in the church, but we know that was not all of the members of the church. And so God speaks to them, and more than likely these were leaders. These were the leadership of the church, and God speaks to them and makes it evident. That Sunday morning, March the 31st, 1974, when I got up out of the altar after praying, and I said, I want you people to pray for me. God's called me to preach. My pastor looked over at me and said, Brother Shepherd, by that are you making public your call to preach? And I said, I guess I looked startled. And I thought, that's what I've done. I've told him. I've told the church that God's called me to preach. And I said, yes, sir. And so I couldn't tell you how many people told me that day before they left. Said, we wondered when you was going to. Surrender. We wonder. We've known. I thought nobody knew. But I'm telling you today, God's got a way. He told the church about these. He said, and listen. Well, I won't say that. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. God gives the specific names, and he says, the work. The work. I've got that marked in my Bible. I've got some things underlined, and then that one I've got in parentheses, so that when I read that, I was reading this many years ago and began to read it, and I went on through and read in the scriptures, and I got over to chapter 14 of the book of Acts, and I read this in verse 26. And it said, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. Look back over up in chapter 12 of the book of Acts, the last two verses. Bible said, but the word of God grew and multiplied, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. So there, it said they fulfilled their ministry. Does that mean they've preached all God wants them to preach and now they've quit? No. They had a particular thing that they was doing. If you read that scripture, they'd been up to Jerusalem. You'll find out that this was a part of an offering and some things that was going on there. And as they done these things, now God has called them to another work. If I'd have preached this when I was a young man, I probably would have said that I would just have glossed over it and read it and said there's an indication that God calls people to preach. But they are already preaching. They are already preaching. They've been out preaching in different places, and they are now at Antioch, and they're laboring there. But it's very evident that missionaries are called of God. And I agree 100% with whichever one said it the other day. There is not one qualification for a pastor and another for a missionary. Listen, if you have disqualified yourself in the ministry of the Lord, you've disqualified yourself to preach. I believe that. If you've disqualified yourself to preach, how can you plant a church? I know a man in Kansas that wanted to come and present his ministry. And I knew that he'd been divorced and remarried. I'm not kicking him, and I'm not kicking you if you have. And I believe there's plenty of work that you can do to the glory of God that God will use and God will bless if you'll just yield yourself to where God wants you. And so he wanted to come, and I said, brother, I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm not trying to push you down. He told me he was planting a church in a certain town. I had been to that town. I had prayed over that town for God to send somebody there and plant a church. God just didn't give us liberty to go. And nobody's there yet. And so I said, I can't. The way that I read the scriptures, I said, brother, I believe you are disqualified from preaching the word of God. He said, but I'm not going to pastor. He said, I'm going to plant the church. I said, well, he said, my pastor will actually be the pastor. I said, brother, a church planter has to preach. A church planter has to pastor in order to get that work going. And I said, again, I am not kicking you, but it would be inconsistent for me to have you the way I see the scriptures. And so we finished that up. All right, so we look at it and we find that missionaries are called of God. Missionaries are sent by the church. I told you I'm representing the Gospel Preacher Association, which is a organization that helps churches and missionaries and some things like that. And so my purpose is to make known what's available. But I'm telling you today that they do not send missionaries. The church does. The church does. I had a man to call me. Of course, I know my family and Dr. Kirkman and Brother Joe Bryant knows Brother Don Jackson. Brother Don Jackson's passed away now. He started a church in Heston. My wife and I had prayed over that town for some years and thought that maybe God was going to let us go down there. It's 30 miles from Lindsborg. I got hung up on a building there and all of this. He was looking for a place to go. And he and his wife were staying in our basement until they found out where God wanted them to go. And so I said, Brother Jackson, why don't you go down to Heston? And look at that. I said, they sure do need a church down there. And he said, I thought that's where you was going. I said, it was. But I can't leave here right now. God won't let me leave here right now. They need somebody there now. And after about a week of visiting, he got up one morning and said, I'm going to make a trip back down to Heston. He said, Judy's going to stay and wash some clothes. And so about 30 minutes later, I went outside, and he's out there piddling with his El Camino. I said, I thought you was going to Heston. He said, I was. He said, I got out the street there and said, the Lord said, what are you going back down there again for? You know you're supposed to go. And so he said, are you sure that it wouldn't? I said, Brother Jackson, somebody needs to be there now. They bought a house. We helped him move in there. Before they got their stuff unloaded, they'd gotten two calls. They don't have a newspaper. They just went down and bought a house in a place they didn't know anybody. He got two calls. Said, we heard you was here to start an independent Baptist church. Amen. That Sunday, they met with 17 people in a basement. But can I tell you something? Two pastors later, that $50,000 he left them in the building fund, and that $49,000 piece of property that he bought to prepare them while he is a church planner, could I tell you that was gone? Yep. Could I tell you a young man come back that was under Brother Jackson, come back and pastored that church for a while? They bought a storefront building, but it just kept going down, and there is no church in Heston, Kansas. They was running 100 when Brother Jackson left there. And it wasn't built on personality. I'm telling you that. It's built on the Word of God. I've preached for him, and I've heard it. I want to tell you today that God can do wonderful things if you'll let him.
Amen.
But there was people saved, and even though there's not a Baptist work in that town now, they know that there had been somebody there. Amen. Preaching the Word of God. These missionaries were sent. They were sent by the church. By the way, what I started to tell you about that, the man that was leaving after he drained that $50,000 out, paying his salary out of the building fund and all of that, he called me and said, Brother Shepherd, I'm leaving next Sunday. And he said, the church, I don't believe, is strong enough to go through calling a pastor. And he said, I know the Gospel Preacher Association started that church, and I wonder if you have someone that you could send. And I said, well, brother, number one, the Gospel Preacher Association don't start churches. I said, churches send men to start churches. I told the first group that we had in Washington, Kansas, I said, God sent you a man. And he sent you a man to lead you. And if you have pews to sit on, you'll either buy them or pray them in. And if you have a building to meet in, you'll either pay the rent or buy it or pray that God will send it in from somewhere. I won't be a part of a welfare church. And so as we did these things, it became evident one of the reasons that he could do things like he did. He didn't know the first thing about pastoring and about the way to lead a church, and didn't have the ethics, the integrity to lead a church. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. Now, he's not the last man that was there. He's on his way to Arkansas last week to pastor a church. But missionaries are sent by the church. Missionaries are called by God. Missionaries are under the authority of the church. Let me give you this. Look over at Acts chapter 11. I'll give you one of the things that causes me to see it. It's very evident just as you look at this example. In Acts chapter 11, I'll read you a few things here. For the sake of time, I'm going to jump in the middle of a verse 19. It names some towns here, and it tells what they was doing there. It said, preaching the word of God to none, but unto the Jews only. And then it says, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene. You know Barnabas was from Cyprus, don't you? Was from Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. There's the gospel being preached at Antioch and people being saved, and there's the beginning of the church at Antioch. And then in verse 22, then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, listen now, this last phrase, that they should go as far as Antioch under the authority of the church, that here is a man of God, that God is called to preach, that's God's man, yet has placed himself under the authority of a local church. And they said, you can go to Antioch, you can go as far as Antioch. And he goes down there and preaches at Antioch, and then he goes and brings Paul in, and the word of God goes on, and the church, it looks like that it went on for a while, and then they go out from Antioch. It looks to me like they joined the church at Antioch, and then they were under the authority of the church at Antioch, and they go out and plant those churches in Acts 13 and 14, and they come back to the church in Acts 14 and let the church minister unto them, and they ministered on the church during their furlough. Okay? So missionaries are under the authority of a church. When a missionary gets out from under the authority of a church, he's a lone ranger and he's missed God somewhere. I want to know where a man is, even if I don't know the church. When a missionary calls me, or did when I was pastoring or planning a church, when he called me, I said, what church are you out of? Can I throw this out? I run into this situation in the last church. I wanted to take on a missionary to the Jews. And I was praying. I get a call from a man. And he says he's going to a city here in the States to plant a church. He's going to minister to the Jews in that town. And as he goes, I began to ask him, I said, what church are you out of? He said, well, it's sort of a unique situation. He said, the church that I'm a member of is in Virginia. He said, we moved our membership there so we could have a local church and could help them knock doors and minister there in the church. But he said, my sending church is in California. Okay, I said, and he told me what mission board that he was through. And I said, brother, I'm not trying to be mean. I said, I'm going to have you. I'm going to have you in. But I said, if you don't want to come under these circumstances, it's fine. I said, I'll give you offering. I'll put you up for the night. I'll let you present your ministry. But I said, we will not be taking you on at this time. And I said, the reason is, I said, I don't understand this. You're a member of one church and you have a sending church in California. I said, let's say, per se, that you're sent out from this church, and I call the name of that board, and I said, you mess up. Let's say there comes a change in your marital status because your wife decides she don't want to live in that town, or something happens in your life and Satan gets an advantage of you. Oh, he said, brother, that'll never happen. I said, well, I pray to God it won't, and I'm not suggesting that it will. But I said, hypothetically, right. Then, what if, I said, a missionary messed up in the same situation you're in. I said, who does that mission board talk to? Which pastor? The one in California or the one in Virginia? He said, well, brother, I never thought about that. Yeah. Well, it's evident. But I said, he said, I suppose the church in California, since that's my sending church. And he said, by the way, I don't know much. I've not met the pastor there. He said, we went out from there under another pastor. We've not been there in several years. Okay. You know, flag. I said, okay. If the mission board calls the church that you're a member of, I mean that you're not a member of, and tells him that something's going on, what authority do they have over you if you're not a member? How can they discipline you if they're not a member? If you're not a member. And he said, brother, you're asking me some questions that I've just never thought about. And I said, brother, you need to think about these things. I said, by the way, you've moved your membership to this church here so you can minister there, but you're moving to another state and you're not going to have that local church there for you to visit with. You're going to be knocking doors trying to reach others in another state. You need an authority in your life. You need an authority. You are should be under the authority of a local church. I wasn't trying to be mean. But a missionary is a sent one. God sent Jesus. And Jesus sent his disciples. And the church sent Barnabas and Saul. And there's all of that, they're sent. Well, in Antioch, I find this. It says God told them to separate them for the work whereunto he had called them. And so then they didn't immediately do it. You know what they did? They fasted and prayed. Laid hands suddenly on no man. They laid their hands on them and sent them away. And verse 4 says, so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. Do you know that if you look at those two phrases, and it is different in our King James Bible, and that should alert us, but those two words, the phrases, the sent away and sent forth, comes from different root words? Do you know one of them means released? Do you know the other one means dispatched? The Holy Ghost said, I'll tell you where to go.
Yep.
I'll dispatch you.
Yep.
Sent forth. Sent forth. The church released them to go.
Yep.
And they went.
Amen.
And they went under the blessing of the church.
Right.
But the church sent them away.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to give you these other things and I'm going to quit. Missionaries must have a prayer base. I believe that's the part of the blessing of deputation.
Right.
A prayer base. Brother Alan Barker, let me... give me 5 minutes in a meeting he was preaching back years ago in North Carolina. And I got up and presented my ministry and we left and I'm pretty sure he had him to receive an offering. But anyway, we left and about a year later I called a man and that I had on a list We used to just exchange lists, missionaries did. And I called him, and he said, "Brother Shepherd, I'm not pastoring now." But he said, "I heard you," and he named the church, and I don't remember the name of the church now. But he said, "Brother Alan Barker was preaching, and he gave you 5 minutes." And he said, "God burdened my heart for you and your work that night." And he said, "Brother Shepherd, there's not been a day since that time that I've not taken your name to the throne of grace." Amen. Was that not better than getting a meeting?
Yeah.
Years later, he invited me to the church that he was pastoring. And he said then that he had prayed for me on a regular basis, or for us on a regular basis, ever since that night.
Amen.
That I presented in that ministry. A prayer base.
Amen.
If you'll pray, somebody will give.
Amen.
If you'll pray, God will work.
Right.
We need that, all right?
Yes.
And missionaries are to be supported by churches. You find that in 2 Corinthians 10:15. Prayer base, I'll give you 2 Thessalonians 3:1 and Romans 15:30-33 is some places. And then missionaries ought to have furloughs. Now, I'm a little bit different. And some mission boards require a term of 4 years and then a year furlough. But let me show it to you in the scripture and you do whatever you want to with it. Starting in verse 21 of chapter 14. You look at it. They preached the gospel. That's evangelizing the lost. The next thing they did was taught many. That's educating the Christian. And the next thing they did in verse 22, there's words like confirming, exhorting, continuing in the faith. That's establishing local church. Not just planting, establishing. Local. How do you establish them? With the doctrine of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then every church was left with an elder, according to verse 23, or with a pastor. A missionary's work, church planter's work's not done till that church has got a pastor.
Right, right.
And he leaves it. Don't leave them without a head, without a personal head. Now, look back up in verse 21. The last word, Antioch. That's not where they came from. This is Antioch of Pisidia. Antioch of Syria is where they came from. And so when you jump down here in verse 26, it says, and they sailed, when they had completed the work, when they sailed to Antioch, which is of Syria, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God. And notice that phrase, for the work that was said over there in chapter 13. The work which they fulfilled.
Amen.
Okay? When they fulfilled the work. I read that when they got that church planted, when the church had called a pastor, they was then free to go back to Antioch. And when they got back in verse 27, it says, when they had come and gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of the Gentiles. And look at this. And there they abode long time. With the disciples. They got some. They reported. You see, I've got another E in there. They exited at the right time. And they enlightened the church of what God was doing through them. And they enjoyed some time of rest, relaxation, and worship of God as they fellowship with those that had prayed for them. And that had sent them the church at Antioch of Syria. Thank you, sir.
Amen. I like Bible preaching, don't you?
Amen.
Beats stories. Amen. Beats opinions. Just give me the Bible. I like it. Amen. I appreciate that. All right. Let's stand and let you rest yourself just a minute. And while you're standing, I'm going to have Brother Bale and them come and sing for us. They're going to sing as a couple, I believe. If that's all right. I'm just going to let you stand and rest yourself. If you need to go to the bathroom, give you the opportunity to do that. Now, this, this ain't a break for you to go smoke a cigarette or nothing like that. If you got to go to the bathroom, you know, go get it done. Amen. They're going to sing for us. All right? Amen. All right, you can be seated. Amen.